This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, what would be great is if we could figure out what exactly is happening with the Rangers offense. I'm going to try to pretend that we can ignore that by playing cut number four, and I'm going to play you something positive.
Two out, nobody on. The 0-2, a swing and a miss. The slider takes care of Butler as Latch strikes out the side here in the seventh. Seventh inning stretch time, and at the stretch, the Rangers trail 1-0.
So, Jake Latz looked good.
Often, Jacob.
Well, I think apparently he's not opposed to Jake, but he just wanted to make sure that the official stuff had the name Jacob.
Jacob
on
from
it.
Beverly Hills? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Jason. In fact, I think he's Jason's getting mad from Beverly Hills because I've been saying Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because on the roster that they put out for spring training, they had him listed as Jake. So, but I, hey, if Jacob, that's what he wants jeweler to be called, keep striking people out. Hell yeah. What's the story behind the Rangers' slow offensive start? I did kind of a breakdown.
I already got it all figured out.
Okay, great.
But I'll let you do your breakdown.
No,
first.
No. I want to know.
They're too aggressive.
Let you know if you're right when you're done.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
They're too aggressive. They're going up there trying to, they're acting like, hey, look, we're the kings of baseball. We won the World Series. We hit everything. We're just going to keep hitting everything. And they're too aggressive right now. That's what I think right now.
Okay. I think there could be something to that for sure. I was going to give you the breakdown of you're missing the pop and the home runs from the lineup early on. So I did a study of last year's start. It's actually not as shockingly different as I would have thought. The Rangers started off last year 8-5. Right now, on their way to 40-20, which we all loved. Right now, they're 7-6. So you win yesterday, you're 8-5, no difference.
It's impossible to win yesterday.
Yes.
Nobody's ever won by scoring zero.
That is a good point. But last year's team was averaging 5.62 runs per game. Right now, you're at 5.15. So almost half a run a game difference. But here's the bigger deal. The Rangers average 1.44 home runs per game. So far this year, 0.9. So you're seeing half a home run difference per game, and that is leading to the offensive drop thus far. And so, Corey, to your point, it could absolutely be over-aggression trying to get all those home runs back at one time. I see the appeal of this is a stout offense in theory, and maybe pitchers have tried to avoid some things or they've been more conservative with their pitches. I think there's a variety of things that can work, but when you look at the breakdown, the power has been lacking early for this Rangers team.
So after the show yesterday, I had lunch with former All-Star Ellis Valentine.
Ooh,
and
nice.
He played a second with the Texas Rangers. And he feels like, this was before yesterday's game, he feels like the Rangers are home run happy. And it's interesting, right? I was never obviously a former hitter. But sometimes when you're not hitting the ball out of the park, you try to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to take your hits when they're there, and then they'll start possibly throwing you home run pitches. And I thought that was interesting. I'm not saying that Ellis is 100% right on that, but coming from a guy who was a good big league player, is that sometimes when you're not in those first few games hitting the ball out of the park as an individual, and then as a team, it's not going out of the park as much as you're used to happening. Sometimes you try too hard to hit a home run instead of letting wherever that ball's pitched take your hit if there's a hittable pitch there. And then they'll have to make an adjustment and go, okay, I got to challenge him more maybe inside, or I have to do this or that. And then I do think the home runs are going to happen for the Rangers. They are in a little bit of a funk right now. I hope they get out of it. In a weird way, there's no better pitching staff to face than the Houston Astros.
They stink so far.
They only gave up 9 in the first yesterday. Or maybe the Astros are awesome. It's just the Kansas City Royals are the best team in baseball.
What do you think is more likely?
I'm going to lean on the dude who has a 16.43 ERA being bad.
Reggie, okay. I'm with you.
What? Okay.
All right.
But I think the Royals have a legitimate chance to win that division.
Who finishes with a better record, the Astros or the Royals?
Why are you asking me these questions? I'm going to lean towards the Royals.
You know why he's doing this, right? It's because of the Cards.
Okay, because Bobby Witt, he had two home runs yesterday. And yeah, I got what you're saying.
They're not bad.
I'm not saying they're bad.
They got
one of their losses was Will Smith blowing a save, too.
They have a legitimate ace in Cole
Reagans.
We've
never seen Will Smith blow a save. It's never happened.
We definitely saw that last
year. That's why he's not here anymore. But he wins championships. That's just his history.
Let me ask this question based off of the lineup. It's super early, and Josh Young isn't coming back till June. What would you do with the lineup? Would you just say Langford's batting third still? But if he's not batting third, then who bats third? Do you move Adolis up to third? To maybe get him one more at bat every about three games?
Right now, I think that does make sense by moving Adolis up to third. That does make sense to me.
Is there any other adjustment you would make with the lineup?
Bring back Josh Young. Put him in the lineup. Yeah, that'd be nice. Because he's injured right now, so missing him is kind of tough.
Doesn't spring training kind of stink in what we see and then what happens when the regular season starts? Because obviously Wyatt Langford was the best player in all of baseball in March. He's off to not a bad start, but a slow start from what we were maybe expecting from what happened in spring. And then Kisner had some really nice at-bats in spring training, but when he's going to catch a fourth of the games, if not a third of the games. And right now, he's just not really having – this is tough. I don't want it to sound this strong, but really good competitive at-bats.
Yeah.
He seems to be an out right now. Like right now, when he comes up, you're just like, if you make a decent pitch – and last year, you had for a lot of the season Garver. And Garver, when he's on, is a 300 hitter with pop. And you don't have that anymore when Jonah needs a day off. I know Jonah DH'd, but I mean, you don't have that now when Kisner's back there.
You're not moving Semien no matter what, right? Like, that's never going to happen.
Are you saying move him to third?
He's a really good hitter. Like, he's a
move him off of, good hitter. Off of batting first.
And I'm thinking, Carter? Like, if we need guys that can drive in runs with runners on. And so if you can. Though Marcus Semien can get on base, but he can also drive in runs, and that's something that
I would move
Evan Carter to one, and then maybe move Marcus Semien two and Seager three.
Simeon's going to view that as a demotion. No,
I don't know if he moved to two,
but he has power, or maybe move him to three, four. I don't know.
Next question: super early in the season, is this team going to struggle against left-handed pitching all year?
Look, we did talk about that leading into it. I think it's possible. You might think it's too early to like have that entire season declaration, but I do think that is possible.
Do you think when Nate Lowe comes back, you run Evan Carter to center field and you run Walsh and Lowe in the lineup, you just have one of them DH?
I think I might do that. And since you brought up Nathaniel Lowe, I do have a couple of potential positives.
All these questions I have.
So good with the questions. He is starting a rehab assignment in AA Frisco today. Now, the discussion was it'll probably be a longer rehab than usual just because of when he got hurt in spring training, but that's one positive I could find. The other positive I saw from Buster Olney, the Rangers right now are still tracking. They see the fifth most pitches in the first inning of a game. So, theoretically, quality at-bats are hopefully you're getting further into the lineup and hopefully you're wearing down the starting pitcher quicker than most teams would. So those are the positives I've been able to come up with. On the flip side, First two games against Houston, 17 runs, 31 hits.
Do that again.
Yes. Since then, 15 runs in five games. They've been held to three or fewer runs in three of those games. So those first two games against the Houston, against the Astros, you've seen a heavy drop off in the week after that.
It's part of baseball. This is the thing that stinks is you're probably going to watch the Rangers lose 60 more times this year.
You're still in first place.
And that would be the best season in Rangers history, I think. But
we get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I look at this and go, they're going to get out of this funk. They're going to be one of the best offensive teams in baseball. I just think that over a period of time. It just needs to be a period of time. These first 13 games, we've seen greatness and we've seen badness where you're like, dude, what is going on here? Like, we shouldn't be this non-competitive against J.P. Sears. I'll give him credit for making some really good pitches at times, but J.P. Sears shouldn't have a no-hitter through six. Was it the seventh inning that Adolis got the hit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blanco, I know, threw a no-hitter against Toronto, so this is tougher for me to say. You shouldn't be getting no hit by Blanco five-plus innings into a game. But it happens. Teams go through funks. Players go through funks at the plate. It's very tough to do. But hopefully it changes. And I will say this. That kid Mason Miller's making the All-Star team. And if you're losing to the Oakland Athletics after eight innings, you might as well just say we forfeit. It's over. You're not getting – I don't know how he gave up six hits. I need to go back and watch the game that he gave up six hits and two runs. He is, to me, and maybe I need to go watch other people. He's the best closer in all of baseball. There's nobody as good as that young man. He is the best. Mason Miller, if you want to know who's the best closer in 2024, and you probably only watch him close like 30 games this year, Mason Miller is the best closer in all of baseball, and it's not even close.
He only throws like 103 easy. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like he's that tapping into 104.
With location and a dominating breaking ball.
Yeah.
It is. You better beat the Athletics in eight innings.
Nasty.
Because if it gets to the ninth, the game's over. Forfeit at that point.
I am.
You're going 0 for 3 and walking back to the clubhouse.
I've never stood in the box for 100 miles an hour. I am very curious what seeing 103 and then seeing an 88 mile an hour slider, like what, how different. And
just
how you
walk
like,
back to the dugout.
Oh, I can hit that. And then you're like, no, I can't. And then it's too late. Yeah. I'm also fascinated that yesterday the Rangers only gave up one run, considering John Gray wasn't great yesterday. I mean, he was good. There were some
better
moments. For some moments, he's like, strike outside, gotcha. And then he would be like, well, I don't know.
I'm sure I could look this up, but I just like asking people questions without doing the work.
I noticed.
How many times did he throw a fastball in the zone and they just fouled it off?
Yeah.
Like, or put it in play.
Yeah, he did have a lot of
his slider,
like
his backdoor slider to lefties was great. You know, his slider overall to righties was solid. But, man, he cannot get a swing and miss on that fastball.
Maybe he does just need more velo, Kevin. Maybe that is the solution there. Is
but
that
last year they batted 346 against his faster fastball.
Yeah, I don't know.
He could have been onto something right there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.